Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of...
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, January 24th, 2024. 1-24-24 or 1-24-2024, something like that. Thanks for coming along for the ride. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all Road Warriors, those who esteem ourselves to be, and as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. There is the opposition, the counter-opposition, it all comes from the same place. You know, when I listen to that intro these days, I can't help but think of the fact that, you know, all of those people, I mean, they've shown their true colors. Michelle Bachmann is affiliated with the Seven Mountain Mandate and, you know, other people. Alan West is proud to be a sovereign, you know, Knight of Malta in the SMOM, Sovereign Military Order of Malta. And you know what? It's a good thing, though, because we're protecting Christians in the homeland, are we? Is that what we're doing? Because I can't imagine the Apostle Paul joining the Order of the Knights of Malta or any other fraternal order. So it's interesting to see that, you know. And maybe I want to talk about war this year, but not in a typical sense. So maybe we'll talk about that. If you visit the site I've spoken of before, and the last time we talked about it, Lark actually mentioned it, and I mentioned it after that, but crossroad.to, it's singular. Because as you read on the homepage, crossroad.to, the crossroad, the way of the cross, may be rocky and narrow, and it will never merge with the crowded superhighway nudging the masses toward a global village. But no other way leads to genuine love, peace, and lasting security. Who doesn't want genuine love, peace, and lasting security? The destination is well worth the struggle. And then the verse, 1 Corinthians 2:9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And, you know, backing up for the full explainer, you read from the beginning, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." Will, not might, not may. "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." John 16:33. And it says, "Welcome, dear friends. Long ago, one of God's faithful servants saw the crossroad ahead and showed us the only safe pathway through an immoral world. Joshua encourages God's people to follow truth." You know what? Joshua's example is definitely, yeah, definitely one worth paying attention to. Joshua encourages God's people to follow truth, avoid compromise, and shun their neighbor's earth-centered spirituality, or these days, self-centered. It's interesting how everything revolves around I this, me that, we, but what about God? Who's in charge? Who decides? So Joshua encouraged God's people to follow truth, avoid compromise, and shun their neighbor's earth-centered spirituality. His words clash with today's demand for unity, consensus, and global values. You're supposed to be a good global citizen. Think globally, act locally, right? But they fit our times. From Joshua 24, chapter 24, verse 15, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And I've mentioned it before, if you read the chapter, Joshua 24, I believe this may, in fact, be the first recorded takeaway close, because Joshua keeps saying, you know, to serve God, it's difficult. You guys probably don't want to do it. It's almost like he's looking back at Exodus 20 kind of thing, you know. And when the people, when Moses says, "Let's go talk to God," and the people say, "Ah, you know what, we got a party to get to, so if you could just talk to us, that would be really great." It's almost like Joshua is looking back on that and saying, you know, you should serve the Lord. It's not easy. It's, you know, it's not the broad way. It's not the easy way. And it's probably too hard. You guys probably have a party to get to anyway. And the people say, "Oh, no, we want to, we will." And so he says, "All right, you said it. You're an indictment against yourself if you waver, because this is not some casual thing. No, we will do it." So it's interesting, I think. Very interesting. The Crossroad, the Way of the Cross, Andy and Barrett chose their website. It's pretty incredible. A lot of resources you can find there. Speaking of the battle, it is spiritual first and foremost. And so in that sense, I would offer a prayer. And so maybe we'll start there. We're already many minutes in. Let's start there. Because, you know, I want to do this more and more. I think it's important. I think it's important that we do this. And I've spoken to the nature of the battle, but I don't pray about it often enough, so we'll do that. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts or trespasses as we forgive our debtors or trespassers. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Lord, please help us to put on the full armor of God. Help us to gird our loins about the truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and help us to take up the shield of faith, put on the helmet of salvation, and take up the sword of the Spirit, and help us to pray at all times in the Spirit. I pray, Father, that no weapon formed against the righteous shall prosper. I pray that all who walk in error would come to know the truth, would come to know you. I pray you reveal our hypocrisy and double-mindedness. I pray that unrepentant evildoers be brought swiftly to justice and wickedness be brought swiftly to an end. Righteousness be restored in the land. And all these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a spiritual battle, first and foremost. And the more that you dive down the rabbit hole, the more you see these competing interests, the more you see everything seems to tie back to some biblical correlation. It's really interesting. Quite fascinating, I think, and how everything is a perversion of the Christian gospel, if you will, the good news that God sent his only begotten son. You know, that whole story, it sounds cliche and oversimplified, but it's not. Interesting how that works. Could it possibly be just that simple? Spelled out right there in John chapter 3, starting in verse 15. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hard to imagine in today's American culture. There's a clip, you know, I didn't play the John Lovell thing. I need to say more about that, because, you know, anytime I mention something, there should be a grain of salt. We're all people. We're all fallible people. None of us are perfect. And so, you know, the challenge of mentioning one thing means that it sounds like a, you know, an endorsement of maybe something else, which it isn't. But there are a couple of things. So the video that I mentioned yesterday, we didn't play the clip from that, but I want to talk about that a little bit. There's an interesting piece. There's a lot of other stuff, too, that we could talk about. But interesting interview. Richard Dawkins and Alex O'Connor. Alex O'Connor's interviewed Richard Dawkins couple of times, I think, at least twice. Richard Dawkins, of course, the author of The Selfish Gene and the Royal Society, which is, you know, shall we say, John Dee, Francis Bacon. It's interesting the things that sneak in. The Royal Society says that Dawkins' Selfish Gene, published in 1976, I believe, is the most important science book ever written. But it's not a science book, really, I would say, I would argue. You know, if it's science, it's pseudoscience. So what's that all about? And, you know, so maybe we'll talk about that. Things that sneak in when people aren't watching. You know, here's an example. Maybe we'll do this. Scene from the Gangs of New York. Speaking of Bacon, Dee, Shakespeare, and so on. Let's see if we can. I wonder if we are able to. Oops, here we go. You know, Skype is just becoming terrible. I don't need to use Skype for AI. I don't want to use anything for AI. I want to use, you know, my own faculties and employ those of other people. Good enough for me. Is it possible to play the Gangs of New York clip? Listen to this clip from the movie The Gangs of New York. If you've seen it, you perhaps recall, maybe you caught it when you watched it. But the things that creep in, I touched on this yesterday, speaking of psychological warfare, things that people don't notice. So, yeah, Gangs of New York, assassination attempt. Can we play that, please?
Now that was bloody Shakespearean.
What?
Do you know who Shakespeare was, Sonny? He was a fellow who wrote the King James Bible.
Mister, I don't know what in the hell
that's,
you
have. That's good. Is that something? Did you catch that? Most people, I don't think, catch that. And then that just sort of, you know, then, of course, that has floated around in subsequent years. And there's more to that conversation. More to that discussion. And, you know, I want to dive into that later this year because the subject of Bible translations has come up on this broadcast. I've basically said no one is a better decider than the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit lead that discussion. You may begin with a, you know, an NIV or something. Some new translation that is a product of the Westcott and Hort magic marker binge, as some have put it. But I think if you're letting the Holy Spirit guide you in that journey, you will arrive at the understanding that maybe maybe there's evidence that some folks were playing funny business with Scripture. And Romans 13:9, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Phrase, thou shalt not bear false witness, is missing from the modern critical text in most, and therefore most modern versions that are translated from these new, old, and I have air quotes, codices. They're older than the stuff we've been using, so you know what? They have more weight. Now, we just found them, though. You don't know they're older for sure, and you got guys like Tischendorf involved who maybe, you know, I mean, the guy was a notorious forger. maybe there's more to the story here. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Welcome back. If you pay attention to propaganda, and it's all propaganda at this point, played the little clip there from the Gangs of New York. Do you know who Shakespeare was, Sonny? He was the fellow who wrote the King James Bible. Is that so? That's not entirely true, but you know, the best lies have a bit of truth in them, and there was some involvement. I would say it was nefarious. And to sum that up, but that doesn't mean you throw the baby out with the bathwater. Are you afraid of the King James Bible or any translation then, Chris? No. No, if you have the secret decoder ring, the Holy Spirit, then that stuff doesn't matter. You know, the funny business that men try to do in the, you know, who have pledged fealty to their, you know, who are minions of their father, the devil. Nah. They're not bigger than God. They're not more powerful than God. So, nah, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't. I don't stay up late, you know, laying awake at night.
To melt. Let me stir the.
Working about it or worrying about it. Anyway. So, you know, you have the example of the clip that we played there. Speaking of propaganda, if you pay attention to it, though, ask yourself, why am I seeing this? You know, we have a border crisis, allegedly. What about, you know, who, why are we seeing that? Ask yourself, why am I seeing this? What is the desired outcome? It's not always immediately evident. Maybe it isn't at all. And at best, maybe we can guess at that. Sometimes I've talked about, you know, the border crisis, so-called, who benefits? Well, that's part of the things like the UN Sustainable Development Goals and the, you know, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 effort. If you look at the bullet points of those, but more immediately, there's also, you know, it's funny how the world is supposed to go socialist, communist, but the super capitalists always seem to benefit. And I think one of the groups that benefits most is Peter Thiel's Anduril. Because, you know, no matter who, I mean, it's an election year. Who's funding these $1 trillion presidential campaigns, for example? Remember when Obama broke records? First, it was $600 million that it took to, you know, propagandize the public to elect, wink, wink, a president. And it's more and more every election cycle. So who's footing the bill for that? And what are they getting as a result? It's kind of, you know, the operative question, perhaps. Who benefits in this case? Maybe who's in charge, who decides, is the question when somebody gets elected to office. Who's in charge? Who decides? But, you know, who foots the bill and what do they get for that? You know, you've heard stories on this network folks talking about their own personal experience with seeing the corruption firsthand and who's footing the bill for these kinds of things. So who benefits from a border crisis? No matter who ends up, you know, in the Oval Office after the next election, I think that it would be difficult to argue that Anduril will not benefit. Peter Thiel's Anduril. We have all this technology, and they seem to be the leader, the front runner of companies that want to have all this fancy whiz-bang Razoo technology to protect the border. And we can't build a wall along the entire border, and why would we want to? Biden said no physical border, but they've been building a virtual border with Anduril already. So they're benefiting. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle it. handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Welcome back. All right. So if you've been listening for a while, you know, we did the thing, the New Year's thing for the new year. Maybe you heard Mike Gatti, for example, talking about his experience with, you know, people who pay for campaigns, get what they pay for. I've mentioned Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. I think that was one of Frank Capra's best. There's the New York Times article. Was it 1987? Debt retirement parties becoming an institution. Yeah, 1982. November 29, 1982. New York Times. 1982. 1982. Been almost 50 years. Going on half a century. Stephen V. Roberts special to the New York Times, November 29, 1982. The fundraising invitation was standard. Drinks next Wednesday at the home of Bill Brock, former senator from Tennessee, and the administration's trade representative. Price of admission, $250 per person. That was when $250 was something. What makes the party unusual is that the guest of honor, Don Sundquist, has not even been sworn in as a Republican congressman from Tennessee. The Sundquist party is helping to kick off a whole new stage in what has become a year-round preoccupation in Washington, the raising of campaign funds. Now that the fall campaign is over, candidates are eager to retire their debts so they can start stashing away cash for 1984. Maybe there's a double entendre there. Who knows? On Thursday, both parties will be holding receptions so that the 81 newly elected House members who will be in town for orientation sessions can meet the managers of the major political action committees. These managers control millions of dollars in campaign cash, and the reception scene is likely to resemble a college mixer. Lawmakers and lobbyists, principal partners in the Capitol mating dance, will be sizing each other up, scribbling down names and phone numbers, making dates for the winter term. The legislators need money, lobbyists need access, and trading one commodity for the other is probably the second oldest profession in Washington. Yeah. There was that Washington Times article about the oldest, but it was you know, of a particularly homosexual nature. Remember that Washington Times article? Something's happening in this basement in Washington, D.C., and it seems to, for some reason, it, you know, all roads lead back to Boys Town, but whatever. Running for office involves a big financial risk, lured by the desperate hope that an extra television spot or campaign mailing will make the difference in a close race. Many candidates borrow heavily at the last minute, but the gambling windows in the Capitol only pay off on winners. According to one adage, when you wake up a loser, you have a deficit. When you wake up a winner, you have a deficit retirement party. And so, you know, the story goes that basically people show up at these parties and bid on the, you know, the outstanding debts. Hey, congratulations, freshman congressman. Do you have, you know, college tuition, car payments, maybe mortgage? Obviously, the deficit from the campaign deficit, and they bid on that stuff. And then what do they get? What was the story that Mike Gatti told about, you know, his representative that he knew personally? I forget who it was. You know, this person's net worth skyrocketed while they were in office. I want to start asking these questions. I'm thinking about having some guests going forward, and maybe the first question will be some provocative questions. For most, the first question will be, you know, what fraternal orders or secret or semi-secret organizations do you belong to? CFR, Trilateral Commission, CNP, you know, some brotherhood. Sometimes it sort of comes with the territory, you know, if you're in law enforcement or things like that. I don't want to get in trouble for casting aspersions, but, you know, I mentioned yesterday, you know, if you're in trouble, find a Marine. And there's a context to that, you know, like a Jeff Cooper or Smedley Butler or an Arlie Ermey, not like a Ray Epps or an Ollie North. But, you know, they are the few, the proud. They are making good men better. You know, it is considered a brotherhood. So, you know, it is an organization that was, you know, started. Its founding was credited to a guy who was a known and acknowledged Mason. So, I don't know. Maybe it's just a coincidence. But anyway, be one of those kinds of questions. You know, what secret groups do you belong to? And it's not so secret anymore. I mean, look at Alan West, for Pete's sake. No, I'm a, you know, we're protecting Christians in the homeland. Yeah, not so much. No. No. That's not what that group represents. So that would be the first question. And then for if the Elected Representatives Network was still around, ERN, another vision that John Stadmiller had, I think the question would be, you know, what does your bottom line look like before and after entering office? How much have you been enriched since entering office? You know, and I guess the point of this is, we just circle right back around to Exodus chapter 18 in terms of who should get elected. Who do you vote for? We're told still this is a government of, by, and for the people. Let's be thoughtful then. Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you're doing is not good. You will surely wear out both yourself and these people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you." Everybody's coming to Moses. What should I do? His father-in-law says, "You cannot do it alone. Now listen to me. I shall give you counsel, and God be with you." That's the only counsel you want, by the way. You be the people's representative before God, and you bring the disputes to God. Then teach them the statutes and the laws, and make known to them the way in which they are to walk and the work they are to do. Okay, that's straightforward. But what about, you know, when everybody has, you know, some kind of a dispute? "Furthermore, you shall select out of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain. And you shall place these over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, of tens." There you go. "Let them judge the people at all times, and let it be that every major dispute they will bring to you, but every minor dispute they themselves will judge. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you." Okay, so able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain. There you go. Those are my planks for my, you know, that's my platform right there. Able man fears God, man of truth who hates dishonest gain. There you go. That's it. Four planks. That's it. That's it. Simple. James Madison, Political Observation, 1795. "Of all the enemies to public liberty, war is perhaps the most to be dreaded, because it comprises and develops the germ of every other. War is the parent of armies. From these proceed debts and taxes, and armies and debts and taxes are the known instruments for bringing the many under the domination of the few. In war, too, the discretionary power of the executive is extended. Its influence in dealing out offices, honors, and emoluments," speaking of, you know, could we call it, you know, who would we use? Who would we throw under the bus? Would we call it the Pelosi effect? You know, "I entered office and but man, look at me now. I'm an incumbent, and shoot, I'm, you know, I'm almost as rich as Tiger Woods or Oprah. Can't do anything. What was the joke I mentioned? I forget how I put it. Yeah. Not the three types of people, which was another ne'er-do-well, Nicholas Murray Butler. Not that one, but now I can't remember how I said it. Those who can do, those who can't teach. But I was being facetious, and I think it was I don't know, early in the month, this month. Anyway, I'll think of it. Basically, you know, the point was, yeah, it was on the 16th, I think. Some say, you know, George Bernard Shaw is the one who quipped in Man and Superman 1903, Maxim 36, he who can does, he who cannot teaches. And this goes back to Aristotle, I think. Yeah, Aristotle observed those who know do, those who understand teach. And so, like George Bernard Shaw did, typically cynicized it, you know, as being cynical, and turns it into, you know, a maxim, into a pejorative. But I said, he who can does, he who cannot creeps to the privilege of political incumbency. That's how I put it. I mean, why not? Shoot, you know. You're going to, speaking of those emoluments that Madison was alluding to, the discretionary power of the executive in time of war, its influence in dealing out offices, honors, and emoluments is multiplied, and all the means of seducing the minds are added to those of subduing the force of the people. The same malignant aspect of republicanism may be traced in the inequality of fortunes. Wait a minute. Republicanism? Yep. And the opportunities of fraud growing out of a state of war. Who wins? And in the degeneracy of manners and of morals engendered by both. No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare. We've institutionalized warfare. Do most people realize that the Constitution does not provide for a standing military force? Most people don't realize that, do they? So, what happened in, you know, with the passage of the National Security Act? Why? What happened? And what's happened since then? You know, it's interesting to look at the history of the BSC, the British Security Coordination, setting up the OSS and the CIA, that becoming institutionalized quickly after, and there was, you know, the Army intel stuff before that, but, you know, quickly institutionalized after World War II. And not long after that, we hear about, you know, Northwoods mongoose type stuff. Well, you know, maybe we could shoot down commercial airliners and bomb shopping malls, and we'll blame it on Cuba. Then we learn about things like Gladio and all that kind of fun stuff. And around the same time that we heard about Northwoods and Mongoose and all that nonsense, it was the same time we started to hear about gun control. We got the Dick Act around the turn of the 20th century, which is the Militia Act of 1903, which is effectively the usurpation of the Second Amendment. No, this is your well-regulated militia. It's the National Guard. No, not the same thing. It's not every able-bodied man, the National Guard. So, nope. Not the same thing, even on the face of it. Prima facie evidence. So why do we need that? Anyway, after the National Security Act of 1947, all of a sudden, there was this widening gap, right? Between the people and the protection of themselves and one another. And national security. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Thank you.
Welcome back. We've institutionalized war in America. It's interesting that you will find British influence all around us. And, you know, like I said, during the course of the 20th century in particular, but really going back further, I mean, there was Senate Report 93-549, for example, speaking to the disturbing concern of national emergency. Emergency power statutes, provisions of federal law now in effect delegating to the executive extraordinary authority in time of national emergency. Report of the Special Committee on the Termination of the National Emergency. November 19, 1973. 93rd Congress, first session. Senate Report 93-549. What did it say? What's the problem? What's the big deal? Well, from the foreword, it says since March 9, 1933, and that was an interesting moment, the United States has been in a state of declared national emergency. It was worse than that. It's not just national emergency. It's worse than that. But let's just stay there for the moment. State of declared national emergency, March 9, 1933. In fact, there are now, this is 1973. In fact, there are now, in effect, so, I mean, that's 50 years ago. It's worse since then. The short version of worse since then is National Emergency Powers, 98-505. CRS report 98-505. I'm looking at the September 18, 2001 update. That was about, let's see, a week after, 1 week to the day, after September 11, 2001, which mentions Senate report 93-549. The special committee in July 1974, unanimously recommended legislation establishing a procedure for the presidential declaration and congressional regulation of the national emergency. That's disingenuous. This report, you know, Bush administration says this is the legitimizing of our discretionary powers. We do whatever we want in this Senate report, you know, and the Senate committee says so. That's not true. It was a special committee on the termination of the national emergency, not on the discretionary powers of the executive. And I'll finish that correlation, and then we'll move on when we come back. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic.